Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, this is Nerd Nuptial episode 68. I'm the girl.
And I'm Tristan Riddell.
And we are reviewing Baby Driver.
Baby Driver, that's right. So we are not in our normal studio. You might hear a little bit of an echo. That is because we are in your childhood bedroom.
Again.
Again. Devotees will remember that we were here once before for another review because there are certain times when our babysitter today was your mother, my mother-in-law. And she loves taking care of the baby. And so what we do is we go to a theater that's near her house. So we dropped off the baby, told the baby to tuck and roll. And then we went to the movie theater, saw the movie, came back. But the thing is that baby needs to eat.
That's right.
And our baby needs to eat, not the baby driver. And so we're like, okay, well, let's just go ahead. We got our mobile recording set up, so let's just do the podcast right now while the baby's eating.
Why not?
And then there you go. So we don't have to worry about Ripley crying or screaming during the show.
That's right. Well, we'll see.
We'll see. You might hear her in the background. But yeah, so we're in a different place, and we just saw the movie. We just saw Baby Driver.
We did.
Now, we're a little bit behind on this one.
We're a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But it just gave people more time to watch it.
Exactly. So this is going to be less spoilery for the people, for the masses, because the more people would have seen it by now.
That's right.
So we probably will definitely go into spoiler territory. We'll try to let you know when we get into it, but you know how we are.
Yeah. You know? We go pretty fast into spoiler territory.
That's right. So we, per our custom of the show, we have not talked about it.
Nope.
We got in the car, drove here, set up, still haven't talked about it. I have no idea what you thought. So let's just go ahead and give, before we even go into opening impressions, you know what, this has been a great summer.
Oh, okay.
This has been a great summer for movies.
Yeah, it has.
I mean, we saw Alien Covenant. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Next week, we're going to see War of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing nothing but great reviews.
And then the following week, we're going to watch Dunkirk.
On?
70mm.
That's right.
So, that's pretty exciting.
That's just, yeah.
It is a good summer.
So far, it's been pretty great. And Wonder Woman before that, Wonder Woman was the movie that we saw after Alien Covenant.
Oh, you're right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were trying to think of what movie we saw.
We've seen a lot of movies recently.
We have. Most of the time, it takes a lot to get us to the theater. Mm-hmm. But this year, I think we're definitely, this is probably going to be the year where we see the most movies in the theater.
It's true.
And probably Nerd Nuptial is a big reason for that.
It's true. It's a lot of fun to review things that are brand new.
Yeah, it is fun to review things on opening weekend so that mm-hmm. you guys can have a podcast first thing on Monday morning. And one thing that we're not reviewing is Spider-Man Homecoming, and that's what everybody's talking about right now. But you should look for that on Filibuster. They're doing a review of that, so look for that this week. You'll actually be able to find a written review by Sean Eastridge, which you can find at thenerdparty.com/blog, along with a whole bunch of other reviews. And actually, speaking of Dunkirk, so here's the thing is that like we have an IMAX near mm-hmm. us, like right down the street from us. But it's no longer a film IMAX. It used to be a film IMAX.
Yeah, I don't know why they changed.
Yeah. Many reasons, all
I'm
of them
sure.
stupid.
Yeah.
But it used to be a film IMAX. It's now a digital IMAX. And but we do have access to a film IMAX, one of the last in the state, the only in the state, down at Navy Pier, mm-hmm. downtown. We don't really like going to Navy Pier. It's a baton death march to get to the Navy Pier. But locals, anybody who's listening to this in Chicago knows what we're talking about. But I was talking with a host of the show, a fellow host on the network, Mike Schindler, who's a projectionist himself, legit projectionist.
Awesome.
Knows tons about the medium. Really, really great. And somebody released an article talking about all the various formats that you can see Dunkirk in. You can see it in 35mm, 70mm, IMAX 70mm and IMAX digital and Dolby digital and everything like that. And so I told him, I was like, well, I guess I'll probably just go see it in IMAX. Like, you and I will just go see an IMAX so we can get that ratio. And he's like, Tristan, what is wrong with you? No, man, no. Like, you work in Evanston. They're showing it in 70 millimeter in Evanston. Go see it in 70 millimeter. I was like, are you sure? Wouldn't Nolan want me to see it in the larger aspect ratio? He's like, no, man. Nolan would want you to see it on film. And I was like, you know what, Schindler? You're right. You're absolutely right.
That's funny.
So in 2 weeks, we're going to see
Dunkirk
and Dunkirk on film. Are you excited?
I am.
What do you think about Dunkirk so far? I mean, like, we've seen very little on it. Like, we've been pretty laxed on...
I feel like I'm thinking it's something different than what I'm expecting. Like, I feel like it's giving the impression that it's not just a war film.
Well, Nolan has said himself that it's not a war film.
Right. And I feel like the trailer that I saw the most recently, I feel like it feels like there's something more to it, for sure. But we did stop watching trailers for War of the Planet of the Apes because it started becoming ridiculous. So we stopped. We're just like, nope, we're not going to watch anymore.
They just kept releasing trailer after trailer after, even after they said final trailer.
I'm worried that if we continue to watch the trailers, then we'll just have seen the movie.
And they started releasing clips.
Yes.
Like, long clips. I started watching it. I was like, oh, this isn't a trailer. This is a clip.
Yeah.
It was like a 2-minute clip.
Yeah.
Introducing multiple characters. I was like, I don't want to see that. I want to see the movie.
Right.
Is what I want to see.
Right. Yeah. No. So we stopped. I think that trailers are a good thing. And then when they start showing too much, it's a problem.
Yes. Absolutely. I don't know. I don't understand why they're proliferating the market like that. I mean, like, clips and TV spots and trailers just...
I mean, it feels like it's like the newest Pirates, like how much they're saturating the market with trailers.
Yeah, I don't get it, because we like on YouTube, we have we're subscribed to a movie trailer channel.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever something new comes out, we get a notification. And like, we've gotten like 12 notifications on War of the Planet of the Apes. I don't understand it.
I don't get it either.
But anyway, we saw Baby Driver.
We did.
And I want to know what you thought.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, so that means you liked it.
Yeah, I did. I did. What about you?
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not as much?
No, I liked it. It was good. I think it was one of those movies that was just lived up too much.
Okay.
And it wasn't even, it wasn't like any one of my particular friends was like, oh my God, you have to see this movie. This is going to blow your mind hole or anything like that. Like, nothing, nobody was saying that. Everybody just said it was just like, yeah, no, it's good. You should see it. No one was saying it was the best thing since Citizen Kane. And like, I was seeing trailers and like TV spots where it's like, you know, like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. You know, like, that's a big deal. I doubt if it still has a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes now that it's in wider release. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't know what it's at. And so I really like Edgar Wright. I mean, I love all of his stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, from Scott Pilgrim and Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead. And I guess The World's End, not so much, but
that one was our least favorite.
That was okay. This one, no, it's fun. This was a cool car movie, like Bullet.
Well, I would much rather watch this than Fast and Furious movies.
Well, yeah.
So this was fun. Like, I think it was fun. I think it was like, I cared, and I think it was enjoyable. Like, it was just a fun movie.
I really respected that the movie knew it was a movie.
Yes.
And it didn't take itself too seriously.
No.
And I'm not saying that as in the way that Fast and the Furious doesn't take itself too seriously. It's not like there was a submarine that came out of the ice caps or anything like that. Or no one was jumping cars from building to building.
Right,
That's not what I mean.
No.
Is that some of the dialogue was a little snappier than how it would be in real life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and some of the, you know, like the music integration, of course, you know, with the words popping up on the, you know, like integrated into the walls or in the signage and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it was, I wouldn't even say it was a fourth wall wink. It was really just this is a movie. It's not real life. You know, it's okay to have some fun.
Right. And it was into the style that it has chosen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
All right.
I liked it too. I guess where the criticism's coming from is...
Maybe I'll talk you into liking it more by the end of this podcast.
I want to watch it again. That's the thing. I want to see the movie again. I feel like I'll get a better appreciation for it the second time I see it. And I might pick up on a few things more the second time.
Okay.
But I think the main thing is that I didn't like Baby.
You didn't like Baby?
I did not like Baby.
I liked Baby.
Yeah. I think that was the main thing is
what?
That like as I'm watching
he was
that,
adorable.
He was too adorable.
What?
Yeah.
No such thing.
Yeah, as
he
I was watching
too adorable.
I think he was boring.
What?
I think he was boring.
What?
I thought he was bland. I thought he was white bread. I thought
you were so wrong.
Yeah, okay, tell me why I'm wrong.
Okay, like I guess the moment where I was into Baby was when he was being all like fun with his caregiver.
Oh yeah,
his foster parent.
I think his name's Jonathan.
Yeah, and they had like the back and forth in mm-hmm. sign language. I was
yeah,
like,
that was a lot of fun.
I was like, I like him. He's sweet. Yeah.
No, that was a good scene. I loved Jonathan.
I thought he was just fun, and I didn't think that he like when you say like he was boring. What was boring about him?
I don't know.
Is it because he didn't have a lot of facial expressions?
I guess that could be it. Yeah.
But that was him.
Then what he was boring.
No, it wasn't. It was his character.
I understand the whole laconic, terse, Spartan in vocabulary kind of guy. I get that. Like it's very James Dean.
But I didn't think that I didn't feel like he was being a caricature of that. Of like a James Dean type character. I feel like he was being someone who was limited in words. Like he didn't need to talk a lot, mm-hmm. but he had his gimmick. Like he had his iPod and he was open with the people that he really cared about, which mm-hmm. I liked. But when he's on the job, this is his persona. You know, he's Baby.
Yeah. I liked him when he was interacting with the people he loved. I liked him when he was interacting with Jonathan. I liked him when he was interacting with Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a small portion of the movie. Like when he's interacting with the bad guys or in the action sequences,
he's on the job.
I just felt like he could have had a little bit more charisma.
What?
Yeah.
No, but we saw the charisma behind the scenes when he's with the people he likes.
Mm-hmm.
Like he feels comfortable. Like he said, he's like, I don't talk a lot, but he talks a lot to, you know, his foster parent. He talks a lot to Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we were okay with him being kind of just a shell of who he is when he's on the job. Because he puts his shades on and he's his like alter ego. Like how, you know, John Hamm's character's Buddy. Like he's not really Buddy and Baby's not really Baby. So I'm explaining this to you. Do you understand it now?
I get, okay.
Do you understand it now? This,
no need to be condescending. I guess you're the whole sunglasses thing. Did he not wear his sunglasses with Debbie?
No.
I guess he wore sunglasses when he walked into the diner, but then took them off when he sat down.
Yeah, that was a character choice.
Okay, that's interesting. I'll take that. I'll take that as...
I don't know if he had it all the time, but it was definitely a conscious decision that he had them on
mm-hmm.
when he was at work.
I'm glad that they addressed that, though. Like, Jamie Foxx came in, he said, he's like, yeah, a driver needs to be the eyes and the ears of the job, not just the eyes. Because when I saw the trailer for this and I saw him, he had his earbuds in, I was just like, oh my God. Like, I hate it when movies do that because movies say, like there's always like some hunter or action hero or something like that who likes to listen to music. I'm like, yeah, that's nice and cinematic, but in the real world, that's how you get your ass shot.
Well, yeah, but that is his thing. Okay, yeah. So
I accepted it then.
Okay.
I accepted it with this movie.
Okay, because that's like his whole thing.
Yes, I get the shtick. I get that. Okay. I'm just saying is that like that has become a trope in movies that I don't like.
Yes, but this one completely embraced it that it's a huge part of his character.
Yes.
It's not just like, hey, montage, I'm going to be shooting some folks and I'm listening to music. Like, mm-hmm. no, this is his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know, I said that.
Yeah, okay.
Did you hear the part where I said I accept it for this movie?
I heard that.
Do you need me to explain it to you?
I liked the fast editing that is so Edgar Wright style.
Very right, yeah.
Even like him walking around, like, you know, town getting coffee.
I love
that. That was very, you know, like the whole
like the tracking shots, Shaun of the Dead. Like
absolutely,
when he was,
Shaun of the Dead, you know, getting his
cone. Cornetto.
Cornetto cone, yeah.
Yeah, when he was getting his Cornetto and a Coke and everything like that. Yeah.
It felt very much so.
And it was all one shot like it was in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
I really love the editing of the gun battle scenes because they were edited to the music and that was badass. Like, a big portion of my job is editing, and I love rhythmic editing, and I very rarely get to do it anymore because of the type of work that I'm doing now. And when I saw that, I was just got insanely jealous. I was like, that is every editor's dream, is to edit a gun battle rhythmically to the music where the pops and the scrapes and the cocks were all just part of the music.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also thought that they did a good job of the driving to the music as well. Like, you know, there were moments like that in the editing with the like fast-paced editing, which was really fun.
The action scenes were really well done and definitely, I think, some of the best parts of the movie. And there was fast editing, but it was to the point where you still could see what was going on. It wasn't like the Bourne Ultimatum where you have no idea who is fighting who or who's driving what.
Right. That's very true.
And I feel like that's a victim of a lot of modern franchises like the Bourne trilogy or the Bond movies and everything like that, where it's just so fast that filmmakers rely on the editor so much for kinetic energy because they didn't do a good job of shooting it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, okay, we'll fix it in post. We'll fix it in post.
No.
We'll embrace it in post, but it's planned photography.
Definitely. Definitely.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Yeah. What else did you like about it? Or you can tell me what you didn't.
Well, I thought Lily James was tolerable. I was like, hey, cool. She's not annoying.
Yeah, I think this is actually probably my favorite thing that she's been in.
Because we saw her in was Downton.
I did not like her
character. Oh my gosh, she was so annoying in Downton, but that was her character.
And then Cinderella.
And we just hated Cinderella.
Yeah, I was not a fan.
And by extension, her, because we thought it was such a poor movie. But in this one, it was weird hearing her in an American accent.
Yeah, I liked her.
But no, she was good. She played the girl quite well. She was just the girl. But
that was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else did you like about it?
I think it was fun seeing, like, John Hamm be a different character.
I love seeing John Hamm in this. this
and Kevin Spacey?
Kevin Spacey rocked hilarious. The friggin' house
well,
in this movie.
Well, of course, because Kevin Spacey.
Oh, man. I mean, like, I kept forgetting that he was in this movie, even though I knew he was in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, when I sat down, I was just like, oh, goody, Kevin Spacey.
It's true. It's very true. And I thought, you know, like, Jamie Foxx was good. It was fine.
He was fine.
He was fine.
He was Jamie Foxx.
But it didn't like, no character was like, ugh.
But this was a really great cast.
Yeah.
From Kevin Spacey, Jamie Foxx, John Hamm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All good stuff.
You just didn't like Baby.
I just didn't like Baby. I didn't.
That's a problem.
That is kind of a problem when you're bored with your protagonist. Yeah. How do you say his name? I almost called him Joel Egerton. That's not right. Ansel Elgort, or however you pronounce it. He's from the Divergent series. I think that's what he's most famous for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We only saw the first one.
Yeah.
Because those movies sucked.
I honestly, I didn't recognize him from anything that I could put my finger on.
So. Yeah, he hasn't been in a lot.
Okay.
He hasn't been in a lot.
Yeah, I liked him as Baby. But you did not. You want to get into spoiler territory?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into spoiler territory. You know, like we're at the 20-minute mark, so let's just go right into it. So if you guys have not seen Baby Driver, you should pause this, go see it, and then listen to the rest of this immediately.
Yeah.
So
So what did you not like about it specifically?
Well, I want to talk about what I liked.
Okay, go ahead.
I think the thing that I liked a great deal was that John Hamm was the surprise antagonist at the end. Like, they set up the movie
that
it was either going to be Kevin Spacey, and then you're like, okay, it's not going to be Kevin Spacey, but then they start setting up for Jamie Foxx. You're like, oh, clearly it's going to be Jamie Foxx. It's going to be the big bad towards the end. But then, boom,
You did not see it coming that it was John Hamm. Just because, I mean, maybe we should have, because he was kind of like much more like trying to strike up a friendship with Baby and like seemed like a good guy, like a good bad guy.
Right.
But I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't see it coming either, and I really enjoyed it. And I was surprised by Jamie Foxx's death. But I think that was another reason why I didn't like Baby. The cold-blooded murder. I think that's when...
Well, okay, but that was justified because he knew that the guy was going to kill other people. Like, in Baby's mind. I mean, Baby's still...
Listen to yourself.
Baby... Okay, but Baby's still... Like, he's not a good guy. He you know, he, like, steals cars and stuff.
He doesn't... Well,
but he doesn't murder people.
He murders people!
Well, he does now. Like, at the end, he was murdering people. But, like, Jamie Foxx was... He was a scary dude.
I love this about how there's this thing called movie justice and real-life justice.
Yeah.
There is this thing in movies where if a person does a bad thing... Then it is A-okay for them to die, whether it's
but look
in
at all
cold
the bad
blood
things
or not.
That Jamie Foxx did.
That's what I'm saying.
What was his real? Wait, what was his name? Was
Leon.
It? Okay.
Bats.
Bats. Okay, Bats. What name. Bats did. Yeah.
And but that's the thing. Like, if we've been so brainwashed by watching movies,
yes,
that if a character kicked a dog, and then he got brutally murdered by the end of the film, you're like, okay, all right. That guy had it coming. He kicked a Shar Pei, and he deserved it.
Well, yeah, that's a sign of a villain. So, yes.
But yeah, no, I was surprised and a little turned off by that.
That he killed Jamie... Bats?
That Baby killed Bats, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, in that way.
Oh.
Because it was cold-blooded. It was... I'm going to get rid of him. Even at the end, like when...
But he was about to kill, like, the people nearby. And possibly.
But he did kill the people nearby.
He killed the security officer?
Yeah, he killed the security officer, and the woman already ran away.
Okay.
And so he was waiting, like, Baby was waiting for everybody to go away, and then he killed Jamie Foxx. Okay. So it was cold and calculated. And then later on, like, at the very, very end, right before he killed John Hamm, like, they had a chance to get away and drive away and never return. And instead he's like, no, I have to finish this. And what that means is kill John Hamm. Now, granted, John Hamm was chasing after him, but he had a chance to get away.
And he wouldn't stop. And also, Jamie Foxx is like basically threatened his girlfriend. So in movie justice,
that's what I'm saying.
It was
in movie
okay.
justice.
So maybe not in the real world, but in movie movie justice, he was okay. I accepted it.
I could tell you did. Like you were like when they did the fake out of John Hamm's death.
Yeah.
Like, I saw it, and I was just like, oh, well, he's not really dead. He jumped out of the car because they didn't actually show his body. And, but then like he pops up behind Baby and cocks the gun, and you're like, oh. Like, I heard that from the side. I heard that from you.
I was into it.
No, that's when I knew. I was like, oh, she likes this movie.
I gave it away.
Whenever I hear you give me an audible reaction to a movie, it usually means, oh, you're into it, you like it.
For the most part.
Usually.
For the most part,
if it's not like a jump scare.
And then he shot next to his ears.
That's pretty...
Yeah.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
That he made him...
And we can't tell, like, was his hearing coming back?
I think he didn't... It's not complete hearing loss, but I think it's a lot of hearing loss. So, like, he could hear Debbie, kind of, but he couldn't hear the music. So, like, if he was talking to someone, he could probably... Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, music probably wasn't strong enough for him to hear.
Well, I choose to believe that with time, that got better because that just happened.
And they did show, like, in the prison, they did show him get, like, an exam. So maybe they were trying to tell us that maybe it could get better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's up to interpretation.
And also, 25 years and 5 years parole is pretty generous for
that
what
is pretty
he
generous
just did.
Because
cops died.
Yeah.
Lots of cops died. There was a shoot. There was multiple shootouts in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah.
People are dead. And he's just like, he's the driver, whatever. He's a good guy. He has a good heart.
That's right.
He killed Jamie Foxx in cold blood, but it's fine.
He's character witnesses that say he has a good heart.
He has a good heart.
Even Deborah was like, I don't know him that well, but.
Yeah. We were friends and we wanted to be more. And that's all
and
I know.
He has a good heart.
I've known him for approximately 36 hours. But I know I want to spend the rest of my life with him. And I'm going to wait for you, baby. I'm going to wait
for
you.
They're going to drive off together.
They're going to drive down Route 66.
That's right. Well, at least there was some justice, though. Because I was really surprised. Because I thought they were just going to get away. Like, it felt like that film was just going to be like, okay, they're just going to drive off together.
They're going to drive off to Say Watanejo, you know, and just hang out.
That's right. I thought that might happen.
Yeah.
Because of the style of the film as it was going. Absolutely. But then it was like, oh, okay.
He's going to jail.
He's going to jail. And he's guilty. He's serving his time. And yeah, it's just the way it is.
Can't do the time, don't do the crime.
Okay.
And he did the crime and he did the time. That's refreshing.
It was.
Yeah, I did not expect that. So I did like that.
Yeah.
Even though he got off wicked easy. So what else did you like about it?
I guess I liked the pace of the movie. There wasn't really a time when I felt like it was super wasted time. I felt like they did a good job of like character building. So like when we were with Deborah and Baby, like there was a point to it.
Right.
You know, and when we were with his foster dad, it was a point. And even like the different heists, it was fast, but it wasn't like we dwelt on too long, anything too long.
We didn't even see the heists.
No, we didn't.
Because everything was from Baby's perspective.
Right. So I thought that was interesting. And at no point was I like, when is this movie over? Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like it was very, when it was over, I felt like that was, yes, that was appropriate. You know?
Yes. I'm trying to phrase as well. Like, I really enjoyed the pacing. I didn't feel like any scene was wasted, but there was a few things with the structure that I was kind of like,
like what?
Towards the beginning, and maybe it's because I'm getting old, but I felt like there's so many times that I've been watching so many movies lately where I'm like, okay, when is the plot going to start? Like, when are we going to get going with the story? And I feel like this is one of those movies where we're about 20, 25 minutes in and we haven't really gotten the established plot yet.
I didn't feel that.
The
plot came right when I thought it would.
Well, because, you know, he's a driver, and he's a good driver, and then we established that he's on the hook. You know, like, he owes Kevin Spacey money.
Right.
But then even after that, I'm just kind of, I was like, is that the plot? Is that, okay, he's just trying to get out? Like, after this, it's done. You know, after this, I'm done. And then he goes and he meets the girl. And then it's like, okay, is that the story that he meets the girl? Or is the story that he's going to get out? Is it the story that he's going to get out with the girl? You know, is the story that he's going to have one last job? You know, like,
you would have liked it better if they had combined, like, this is my last job, I just met you.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I think maybe I'm overthinking
it. And this last job went awry.
Yeah, I think I'm overthinking it. I think, like, as I was watching it, I was like, okay, the pacing is good because I'm not bored, but at the same time, I'm wondering about this structure. Is the structure like an acted job, or is, I don't know.
Well, I kind of felt like, I think it added something to Baby's character for me, the fact that he had gotten out and then had to come back in. So, like, adding Deborah to the situation caused like Kevin Spacey to bring him back in, and in a threatening way. So I felt like, okay, now we have something that we're fighting for, so we can't just say no to Kevin Spacey. We have to go with it,
right?
And I felt like that, and we established then that we are a good person, that we want out, we have a good heart. But
not a cold-blooded killer.
But we you just really are upset about bats, huh? Okay, all right. But you know, the fact that we do want to get out. Also, loved that date scene. That was hilarious.
That was an amazing.
That was
date
probably
scene.
One of my favorite editing date scenes ever with nonverbals.
Yeah, there was
that
like,
was amazing.
That was great because they captured that first date.
Yeah.
We've all been on that first date where everything's going great. You don't have to say anything.
Right.
And just like the camera was circling them.
So smooth.
Everybody was smooth. Everyone was enjoying their wine. And like he like takes off a piece of the cake and feeds it to her.
See, that was Baby being Baby. Was awesome.
I told you I liked it when he was with Debbie.
Okay. Keep going.
And I liked it. Yeah. And it's just like, that was a great scene. Like, and they
the
just
little kinda, nod to get out of here.
The little nod to get out of here. Yeah. That was great. That was a great scene. That was probably my favorite scene.
I loved that scene. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was great. I thought the pace was well done and not so predictable. Because I feel like we've all seen that movie where, okay, the guy's in trouble, needs to get out of the situation. Mm-hmm. And then that last thing goes awry. Whereas I felt like this gave him a little bit more humanity and a little bit more, like, purpose to getting out. And maybe the reasons why those murders, as you call them, cold-blooded murders, happened.
It's all for a girl. It sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, this is not an original idea. Let's be completely honest here.
No, it's, you know, a heist it's movie. It's a getaway movie. Yeah.
But I love those. And it was fun. I think it was, you know, because Edgar Wright's style, I think it was just like, it was a fun movie. I was like, oh, yeah, I like this.
This was a great Edgar Wright film in Edgar Wright style, but it was not Edgar Wright obsessed with himself.
No.
It's not like how John Woo got in his old age, where, you know, like when you're watching a John Woo film, you're like, yes, we get it. It's a John Woo film. Reel it in.
Yeah.
With Edgar Wright, I never felt like he was overdoing his style.
No. No, I think that it was just him,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't over the top, like you said. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I don't. Maybe it's because I'm a father now.
Okay.
But the entire time when I was watching it and seeing Debbie, I'm like,
really?
No, Debbie.
No, Debbie.
I was like, Debbie, run away, run far away. Okay, baby is bad news. I don't care if you think he's pretty and his name is Baby and he likes music. There are plenty of boys out there who like music and who will treat you well and not put you in a showdown with the cops on a bridge.
She was willing, though. She was going to go all Bonnie and Clyde.
What happened to her? She was hardcore. She was, Bonnie, like, and Clyde.
Ready to go.
I didn't get it because, like, when they were at the diner and John Hamm was shot, where he shot John Hamm, and then John Hamm shot the cop, and, you know, like, Baby tries to tell Debbie, like, I gotta go and you can't go with me. Mm-hmm. That's when I'm like, yeah, go away, go get,
I would honestly get. If it was me, I would have been done with Baby when he came in with the crew.
Yeah,
like, and clearly bad news,
like, yeah, it was I clear, like, that, okay, these were illegal fellas.
I'm done.
Be like, it's been fun.
Like he shows, like, the 2 a.m., like, you know, run away at 2 a.m. And I'd be like,
You just write a note back. Said,
no.
No, thanks.
No, thanks.
See you later. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I was doing the entire time. I was just like, Debbie, no.
Debbie, no. Debbie deserves better.
Debbie does deserve better.
Okay. All
She's right. a nice waitress with a good head, well, on her shoulders.
Does she? Because she was really willing to...
Up until that point, I thought she did.
Okay.
Until she proved me wrong.
Also, she's waiting for Baby. She's gonna wait
she
for
waited
baby.
5 years.
Yeah, she's waiting for Baby.
I guess still waitressing, maybe. At
just waiting for Baby. Sending postcards.
What did you? Was there anything that you disliked about it?
I guess. What did I not like? I think that I went in just completely accepting what it was. So there wasn't much I didn't like. I liked most things about it. Yeah, I was kind of like, okay, this is fun. And I think, like, out of Edgar Wright's movies, it was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. I think, I don't know if I can say, I don't know if I can say it's one of my favorites.
Well, okay.
It's definitely better than World's End.
Yes, yes. But I like, okay, Shaun of the Dead... Definitely my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what are some of his other, like, Hot Fuzz,
Scott Pilgrim.
I would put this, like, probably second.
Really?
Yeah, I really would.
Really?
Shaun of the Dead, and then probably Baby Driver.
I'd have to see this again.
And then Hot Fuzz, and then Scott Pilgrim.
I would have to see this again before I comment on that, because right now it goes Scott Pilgrim, Hot Fuzz. No, it goes Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Scott Pilgrim, then this.
Okay. Interesting.
But I'm open to...
I wasn't as big of a fan of Hot Fuzz as most people. I don't know why. I know you love Hot Fuzz. I'm not as big of a fan of that one. I love Shaun of the Dead, but...
Well, Shaun of the Dead is a masterpiece.
Well, of course, you can't beat that one.
Yeah, you're a freaking loser.
But maybe it's just because I saw this most recently. I don't know. But, yeah. World's End is definitely at the bottom.
Yeah, that one was a big swing and a miss. I mean, it wasn't a bad movie. It just wasn't a good movie.
Yeah, but I never had a reason to see it again. I mean, I think we have seen it since, but I was just like, eh, it's okay.
Yeah, I think we just watched it just because we were doing a marathon. Yeah. We were doing the Cornetto trilogy.
Mm-hmm, it's true.
And you got to finish it with World's End. But yeah, I think with me... with this film, I know I kind of commented on the structure. I was just kind of like, I like the pacing, but not the structure. As I was explaining myself, I feel like, and I said this before, I feel like I'm overthinking the structure. I feel like I'm trying to add too much math to it. I think I just needed to accept.
I think you're getting a lot of emails saying you're crazy for not liking Baby, because I loved Baby.
I think, but like that's the thing, is that I think the biggest thing is that I didn't like Baby. I think that's the main thing that I didn't like about the film. I liked the editing. I liked the pacing. I liked all the other characters. I liked the story. Kevin Spacey, of course, is amazing.
I did not like seeing him dead.
No. No, I didn't think they were going to kill him.
I know. I was like, no, I like don't see that.
They shot him twice, and I was like, oh, he's still going. He's going to survive.
Yeah, nope. No.
And then they were rough on his
body.
Yeah,
I was like, no. That was unnecessary. Don't do that to Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Was it Doc? Was his name Doc?
Doc, yeah. It's just like, I loved how he talked.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was so, like, old school film. Yeah. And he's like, okay, guys, shop. Let's talk it. You know? Yeah. It's just like, that's so cool.
Oh, yeah. And then when he like writes on the board and he's still talking, and then he's like, I just did that.
Yeah. He's like, I just drew a map out of chalk all while talking to you. That's pretty great. Yeah. He was probably my favorite part of the movie.
Really?
Yeah. I love, like, the, yeah. What else did I say? Like, that scene, like, that was my favorite scene, was the date scene.
Okay.
And
there's Kevin Spacey.
And Kevin Spacey. And of course the gun battle editing.
You want to watch it again though?
I do want to watch it again. Okay. I think I will like it a whole lot more.
Okay.
And I think I could appreciate this cold-blooded murderer named Baby a little bit more.
Wow. Didn't like Baby and you think he's a cold-blooded murderer. Okay.
Yeah, I think he took Debbie down a path that she didn't need to go down. It kind of was reminiscent of Grease. Where he took a nice girl and turned her to a life of crime and smoking.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to warn Ripley against the Babies and the Dannys of this world.
And the Danny Zukos.
That's right.
It's like, avoid any boy's name, Danny Zuko or Baby. Baby? B-A-B-Y. Baby. Baby.
All right.
All right. Well, that was our that was our show. That was our episode. That was our review. So please... write us. Am I crazy for not liking Baby?
Tell him he's crazy. He's crazy.
So listen to the
Baby's
girl.
Adorable.
And give us your opinion. Go to thenerdparty.com/contact. Select Nerd Nuptial from the form and fill it out. That'll send an email right to us. Or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty. Or you can find us on Twitter at @joinnerdparty. You can find me individually on Twitter at @theinsanerobin. And as always, please, 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 if you like the show and if you like what we say, go to iTunes, give us a review. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show. We've been getting a lot of great emails, and we want to thank everybody for writing us. One thing that we haven't been getting lately, even though we've been getting a lot of comments on the show, one thing we haven't been getting is a lot of suggestions about show suggestions. We love getting show suggestions.
Absolutely. We are planning on doing a War of the Planet of the Apes next week.
And then Dunkirk
after
that. And
then Dunkirk. But after that, we would love a suggestion. So
let us know, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, or email. Just let us know. All right. Well, we got to hightail it out of here. I'm not going to put on my earbuds while I drive, because that's illegal in this state.
And your baby's in the back seat.
And my baby's in the back seat, not the driver.
I love you.
I know.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.